I was born into the kingdom for such a time as this. I was born into the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as this.
It's time for Q&A with Joe Ray. I'm running for the U.S. House 4th Congressional District in Oregon. You're invited to sit back, relax, and get to know me as I answer questions submitted by voters and concerned citizens. Send your questions to askperkinsfororegon@gmail.com.
I walk each day in victory for such a time as this. I walk each day in victory for such a time as this. I walk each day in victory for such a time as this.
Coming from Lane County, and Joe Ray Perkins is on the line, and she is live on the road. Where are you at, Joe Ray?
Well, I just parked just now in Cottage Grove across the street from Stacy's Covered Bridge Restaurant.
All right.
That's where I am speaking at around 7-ish tonight for a few minutes with the Cottage Grove 912 group.
Is that open to the
public? So if you're in the area, come on down. It's open to the public, so come on down. If you're in Cottage Grove, dip on over to Stacy's Covered Bridge Restaurant. They've got some pretty fine food in there.
There you go.
And you're in the back room.
And if you have a...
Here's my plug for the night.
Hope you get a discount. If you have a question for Joe right at the moment, she's taking screen calls, but that's okay. 646-721-9887. And as the intro says, you can send an email to us, talk@caribbeanradio.net, or to Joe Ray. Once again, your address?
Q&A? Which one?
Any of them.
Oh, man. Perkins4Oregon, and that's the number 4 at gmail.com for tonight. Just because my brain has just gone. You're asking me that as I'm trying to type in the email address Q&A by Joe Ray to check the question.
There you go.
For the week. So Perkins the number 4 Oregon at gmail.com.
And Joe Ray does answer your question, so don't hesitate. No question is almost too. No, just ask her anything; she'll answer. So, Joe Ray, you had a pretty busy week this week, I understand.
I have. It's been so busy. I think I have to look at my calendar to see where I've been. So we'll start. Well, I was down in Medford this weekend. Drove down there to the Oregon Republican Party state central committee meeting, and we voted for a national committee man and national committee woman. So we'll give a little bit of political history here and lessons.
Okay.
So every state for the Republican Party, and I presume for the Democrat as well, we have a national committee man and a national committee woman. And then we have our state chairman or chairwoman. Those three people, as far as the Republican Party is concerned, they are three of our bound delegates to the Republican National Convention, where we will nominate our candidate after all the primaries are done for president.
Mm-hmm.
So we in Oregon, we get 28 delegates. Three of those are the three I just mentioned. And so they are bound to vote for the candidate that receives the highest number of votes on the first round of voting. So if Donald Trump or Ted Cruz did not receive the 1,237 delegates prior to the RNC in Cleveland in July, then they vote. And the other 25 delegates that we will send, they pledge to whom they are going to support, and it's proportional. So let's say that Donald Trump gets 45% and Ted Cruz gets 55%. Then Ted would get 13 votes and Donald would get 12.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a percentage. So just rough numbers, and they're rounded up until a maximum. So just rough numbers there. The first round, they have to vote for who they have pledged to. After that, that's where it can get really interesting. So it used to be through the first two rounds, and I'm not sure if they're changing that or not this year. So that was our election. So Solomon Yu has been our national committee man for the last 16 years. He was reelected again. Solomon is a businessman born and raised in communist China, and has done quite a bit for the party here in Oregon in bringing different events to Oregon via the RNC. And of course, he's quite passionate, having grown up underneath a communist regime. Our new national committee woman is Marilyn, and that's Marylin, Shannon. And Marilyn is a former state senator out of the Salem area. In fact, they both live in Salem, which is interesting. And so Marilyn will be bringing to the table a different perspective than our former national committee woman, Donna Kane. And Donna did a great job, and the folks wanted to see at least one person different than what we had. And so Marilyn got the nod from the 107 delegates that were in Medford this weekend.
All right.
So that was just this weekend. So, yeah, last night I was in the Oath Keepers meeting in Albany, the Lynn Benton Oath Keepers meeting. They meet every other Sunday afternoon at Social Starts at 5 at Brandon Iron. And that's open to anybody who wants to come along. So two more Sundays, and we'll meet again at Paul's Brandon Iron.
I understand. So
I've just been all over the place because it's been, 3 weeks or so since I've been on the air because of scheduling conflicts. So
exactly.
And last Monday we were going to do the week before last Monday. It's like, oh, yeah, it's my son's birthday. I can't be on the air. So we took our son, daughter-in-law, and 8 grandkids out for dinner.
Well, and, you know, when you think about it, because all this thing about abortions and right to life, well, here is the celebrating life where family
is important. It was great. So my son and his wife combined have 8 kids. So from Kanan, who is 15, to Maverick, who is a little over 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was great. I love it when we can get all of them together. And our daughter was not able to make it down because of her work schedule, but still it was great to sit there with all of them. And speaking of pro-life, I have officially been endorsed by Oregon Right to Life.
Excellent.
And so that was very exciting news to get their formal endorsement. I was also formally endorsed by Oregon Representative Greg Barreto. Greg is what we like to call a rising star. He is a first-term representative running for re-election. They live in Cove, Oregon, which is just outside of La Grande in Union County. And Greg and Chris, his wife, are personal friends. And when I ran for the Senate, I had the honor of staying at their house and hanging out with them and their kids. And so Greg gave me his official endorsement also in Medford on Saturday. So
do you feel that your run for the Senate kind of helped got your name out there and helping you in this time?
Oh, it absolutely did. Yeah, that helped get my name out there. Now people will recognize my name when they get their ballots. By the way, the ballots go in the mail April 29th. So one of the things we need to make sure here in Oregon, the last day to register to vote is the 26th of April. Now, if you have not received a ballot in the last five, or you've not voted, I'm sorry, if you've not voted in the last 5 years, you need to register to vote. If you have moved since the last time you voted, you need to change your address. Ballots are not forwarded. If you have had a name change, or if you want to change your political party, and that can all be done at OregonVotes.gov, and you can do it right online. It's very easy to do. It takes just a couple of minutes to do it. Make sure you have your driver's license or your Oregon ID card number handy. Only time you have to fill it out by hand or send in a paper copy is, I think, if you have a name change or if you did not have an Oregon license or ID card. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage people to do that. We do have a closed primary, so that means if you are not registered as a Republican or as a Democrat, you will still get a ballot, but you will only receive a ballot for the nonpartisan position, such as state treasurer for Oregon, where their ballots tend to be very small.
And to top that off, I heard this on the news today, too, the automatic voter registration, if I understand it correctly, if you have not declared Republican or Democrat, you're not allowed to vote either.
No, you are registered non-affiliated.
Right.
And so you get the very small ballot. A lot of people think that they're registered non-affiliated, that they're going to get to choose between Republican and Democrat. No, you cannot. You only get a ballot with nonpartisan on it. That's it. So if you did get registered to vote underneath Motor Voter, and what they do is they send out a card to everybody that they're automatically registering, and they're saying, okay, you have 14 days to pick a party, and there's a whole lot of parties listed with the Secretary of State's office. If you do not get that back to them within 14 days, they will automatically list you as non-affiliated. But again, even if you are listed as a non-affiliated, you can go on right now, OregonVotes.gov. Please change your affiliation to Republican so that you can vote for Perkins for Congress. And I do have an opponent.
Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about this the last time? I don't remember.
I don't think we did.
Okay. So many people will know who my opponent is. It is Art Robinson, and he is challenging me this time around. I filed in August. He filed with about 3 weeks left of the deadline. And, I think Art is a fine man. He's a brilliant man. But let's be brutally honest. He has lost 3 times to the incumbent.
Right.
And each time the incumbent has beat him by a wider margin. So he's tried. He failed 3 times in a row. So, folks, please do not send your vote to – and, again, he's a fine young man, but he's proven that he's not going to be able to beat the incumbent.
And so, this is my own opinion here, so not Joe Ray's or anybody else. It's my own. Art Robinson has had some good ideas and stuff, but he's not a poor man. His kids are in – college, pretty good school. No, I don't think they could relate like I could being poor. And Joe Ray, you're not wealthy.
I am not wealthy. I'm a Main Street American.
Yeah, so you know what it is.
And there's
scrape.
Oh, absolutely. There's times where we live month to month on occasion. My husband is self-employed as a carpet installation contractor, and if there aren't a lot of jobs, there's not a lot of money. So we basically live by faith. My check that I currently get, and I've been hoping it's going to go away before the end of May, takes care of the house payment and the van that we bought for our son and daughter-in-law and the 8 grandbabies. I don't make a whole ton of money doing what I do, but that's all right. I'm blessed to have that money come in. But yeah, our 5 of his 6 kids have their doctorate.
Exactly.
So.
And as somebody that knows how to manage money, part of your background.
Right, right. So my background, I used to be a financial planner. I was a certified financial planner. My licenses, contrary to what some people might think out there, were never revoked by anybody whatsoever, and the only people that can revoke your licenses is the Financial Industries Regulatory Agency or the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission. So there's somebody trying to spread a rumor out there before that, her licenses were revoked. No, my licenses weren't. My membership in a private organization was revoked, but the funny thing was I had not renewed my membership with them and told them I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
And 6 months later, they go, we're revoking your membership. Well, thank you.
A little
late. I'm rejoining. Anyway, so that's my background. And I work with families, show them how to control their budget and change their spending habits. And that's one of the things I'm going to bring to Congress is let's change the spending habits. People say, how are you going to do that? Well, the first thing we need to look at is we've got to look at what the Constitution says the job of the Congress is. What it is not is to provide funding for education. What it is not to provide funding for a fire engine in Albany, Oregon. What it is not is to provide a grant for free bus rides for people in Corvallis, Oregon. It also is not to be money to fund the Bureau of Land Management. No, it is not, because the BLM wants to get into the lives of the ranchers and claim that the federal government owns the land here in Oregon.
Yeah,
no.
How's the BLM
got
all those tanks and guns if you don't fund them?
Exactly. They've got to sell them, eh?
Yeah.
And recoup that money.
Yeah, who armed the BLM? That was kind of weird.
Yeah, I know. It's the Forest Service, the BLM. Really, you guys need that much armament? Your money is not to go to Planned Parenthood. You show me that in the Constitution where it says that the federal government is to be funding a medical agency. You will not find it. It does not exist. This is where we're going to start cutting back and saving money. $19.7 trillion of debt is what I was told this last night. And I haven't looked it up, so if it's not 19.7 yet, it will be.
Okay, well, I got one for you. I saw this article the other day, or at least a headline. I think like Harry Reid or something like that. Congressmen make like $175,000 a year, but yet he made $4.5 million.
So I do not know where Harry gets his money. I honestly do not know what his financial background is or what he did, but it is an interesting topic, because he has been in the Senate for a very, very, very long time. And what they used to be able to do, and thank God this law was passed, and had it not been passed, by the time I get there, I would sponsor a bill. They were able to trade on insider information, which is illegal for everybody else out there.
Right.
And the way that it worked is if they had passed a bill, or they were pretty darn sure that a bill was going to get passed, that would affect any specific industry, they would buy stock in that company, because, or they would sell their stock in that company.
Yep.
And so they were able to profit off of non-published information, and that is illegal underneath the Securities and Exchange Act. So here, the very laws that the Congress passed and voted on, they did not apply to themselves. Well, now they can no longer act on those, and that is the way it should be. But unfortunately, they were not forced to give back the profits from that unethical gain. So I can guarantee that I'm not going to come out a wealthy woman. I'm not going in as a wealthy woman. Will I have more money when I come out? Well, yes, I will, because I'm not going to spend every bit of my income when I'm there. We're going to save as much as we can possibly save out of that. So, I will say a Main Street American. So, some of the questions that have come up, Robin, and unfortunately I cannot get into that email because it's on my laptop, and the hinge on my laptop broke, and when I bought it last year, I was sure I had clicked accidental damage, and somehow I clicked on the give me a warranty on the software, and the hinge broke on my computer. So when I open it, I have to be very careful. So I'm not opening it up right now. Pull up that email. So, ouch. But I was sharing with you that I was on the community access television. For yawning, folks. Long day. Down in Eugene, or up in Eugene, or over in Eugene, depends on what part of the district you're in. And the questions were, who are you? Why are you running? And tell us about the issues that are important to you. So I wanted to segue to issues because you're sitting there wasting time. And I said, well, you know, let's talk about some of those issues. And he says, okay, well, how do you feel about climate change? To which I replied, the climate changes, it's cyclical. So the discussion went on, and I said, look, here's the deal. In the 70s, they were telling us that we'll enter in another ice age. And suddenly we're entering global warming. Now, I don't know about you, Robin. I happen to like the warmth better than the cold.
Yeah.
And so do the plants. There was a year in the 1800s that was called the year with no summer. And it was because of a volcanic eruption that this eruption was so huge that the ash remained in the atmosphere for the entire summer, and the plants did not grow. It was a very, very bad summer for farmers that grow fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So, you know, we don't want global cooling. So I was able to finally transition into jobs, and we talked about the unemployment. The unemployment in all seven counties of the 4th Congressional District, are you ready for the list? Here we go. Lynn, most of Benton, all of Lane, all of Douglas, all of Coos and Curry, and most of Josephine County, excluding Flagstaff. I think I got them all in there. The unemployment rate is double-digit in every one of those counties, but the federal government says it's 4.9% nationwide. Number is magic. What they do is anybody who has been unemployed for longer than 6 months that no longer have their unemployment benefits are no longer considered to be unemployed.
Amazing.
That's what I thought. I went, wow, you talked about the new math. That's right up there with Common Core.
Yeah.
You got 10 people. 8 were not working. 7 of them did not get a job before their unemployment benefits ran out. How many are unemployed?
And I suppose all those people that are hanging out on the street corners, they're just hanging out enjoying the sun.
Exactly. Is one of them is unemployed.
Yeah.
Because only one has not run out of unemployment benefits. So guess what? We have a 90% employment rate. Yes. Lies. Okay. So I transitioned into jobs and talked about timber jobs, which ties in with the BLM and the Forest Service. We have got so much timber out there that is not being harvested, and it is a crop. And if it is not properly harvested and replanted, it is going to die, going to happen. He brought up, well, but what about clear cutting? My response was, for every one tree that they cut, they plant
right.
The host says, but it hasn't always been that way. And I go, that's irrelevant because that's the way that it is today. And it will remain that way. So there's very good forest practices out there. They're able to get a high sustained yield. They are harvesting the trees in the private timberland that were planted 20, 25 years ago. They're harvesting them today in long-term crops. So these are jobs that we've lost, that these counties have never recouped with any other jobs. Curry, Coos, Douglas, Josephine were the hardest hit by far. Huge unemployment, 15, 20, 30% unemployment in some of the communities down there. So jobs are huge. We need to get the federal government off our land, and we need to tell the environmentalists, look, you come in here with voodoo science. It's not proven. And by golly, people working and providing for their families and putting food on the table is more important than a bird that is not even indigenous to Oregon.
Well,
but it's getting attacked, by the way, by the barred owl.
Yeah, if I can throw in something, too, the EPA is wanting to give the work to give California standards to Oregon. The EPA is talking about doing it for carbon and clean air.
Oh.
The California standards, the CARB Act.
Yeah. So our wonderful state legislators have voted to really squash the carbon. Here's the thing. It's CO2. Plants need CO2. And the CO2 levels today are lower than they were, I believe it was around 150 years ago. You'd have to look it up. I don't have the data in front of me. But yet it's all man-made. It is natural occurring based on different things that go on. But the plants need that CO2. And in exchange for that CO2, they give us oxygen. God created an amazing symbiotic relationship.
Yep.
And so a lot of these gases that they're going, oh, we have to get rid of it. Well, you can't get rid of it because they naturally occur.
Yep.
So people have to get realistic. But it goes back to the UN globalist agenda. People can look it up, Agenda 21, and now they have come out with new plans for Agenda 2030. Part of their plans are to push back the amount of population that we have. It's a very low global number. So I want you to think about that. Who are they going to start killing off? And I'm not making this stuff up. It's in their writing. You have to sit down. It would, you know, it would take many, many, many hours to sit down and read through all the reports that they're there. We need to push back against this globalism, and that's what this BLM is. It's part of globalism pushed by bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. They're violating, which I've mentioned before, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, when they're saying that's federally owned land. They're also violating the 10th Amendment, which says these things not specifically enumerated are left to the state. And they're violating Article 4 of the Constitution, which says that every state that enters the Union on the same footing as all the original 13 states. And that being that the federal government owns only that land that they have purchased from the state for time I drove, and I know I've said this before, through the Willamette National Forest or the Cyrus Law National Forest, I have yet to see a fort.
Yep, exactly. Well, Joe Ray, we got about 60 seconds left.
Man, time flies when you're having fun.
Tell us
okay, so listen. Okay, here we go. It takes money to run a campaign. I wish it didn't, but folks, if you want me to win, you want me to first beat Art Robinson in the primary, I need your donations. I don't like to ask for it, but I have to. Some of you have been greatly blessed financially. I ask that you give and give generously. For those of you that have not been so blessed, that's perfectly fine too. Give what you can. If you can give $5, you know what? I make that money last. I stretch a dime. I stretch a penny. I'm really good at it. You can go to my website, perkins4oregon.com. You can give there. Many of the issues that I care about, because people have told me they're important to them, are on the website as well. And there you go. And they can find me on Facebook, Perkins4Oregon. I'm on Facebook. Twitter is Perkins4Oregon. So follow me on Twitter. Send me a question. My remarks are even accepted.
And kind of reiterate your pledge that if you do get elected, that you'll still come on these type of programs and answer directly to your voters.
I will do that. Absolutely. Oh, and the Voters Guide is coming out, and I am still, I believe, the only candidate who actually published their private cell phone number. It may have my, I might have put in my Google Voice number, but it goes straight to my cell phone number. So if it's a Google Voice number, it does transfer to my cell phone number. So I did that so when I'm not available, it can go to like my campaign manager or to one of our volunteers. So,
Well, we are out of time.
I know.
Send your questions to Joe Ray, and she'll be back on the 18th at 6:30 to answer your questions. So get them in. And Joe Ray, good luck out there, and keep us informed.
Will do. Have a great week.
You too.